practicing the biblical principles of what a church should be, and manifesting the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Voice of Faith. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Well, thank you, Hap Ritchie, and good morning to each and every one of you. What a joy it is to be able to be gathered around the radio once again with another edition of the Voice of Faith radio broadcast originating from the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania. I'm Pastor Gary Dahl, and thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company as we gather together to prepare our hearts to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth in a good, solid, Bible-believing church today, along with others of like precious faith. We're going to begin the program this morning with a song entitled Sheltered in the Arms of God.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So that not of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, 'cause it's the last mile you must draw. And then I'll fall asleep, and then I'll wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Can harm me, for I'm
What a tremendous thing it is to realize that as Christians, no matter what it is we face in life, we are sheltered in the arms of God. And I think so very often of that passage of Scripture over in the Gospel of John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says this beginning in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." What security we have in the Lord. We are in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the hands of God the Father. Indeed, we are sheltered in the arms of God. And that's a tremendous theological fact to take into consideration. Well, it is a joy to have you there by the radio this morning, and I do trust that you're getting ready to go to a good, solid, Bible-believing church where the Word of God is preached, where you can worship with others of like precious faith, where you can sing the hymns unto the Lord that will honor and glorify Him, and where you will be fed spiritually so that you might be able to grow in the things of the Lord. If you don't have a church to attend, I would invite you to visit us here at the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, where we will be having Sunday school this morning at 9:30. Our morning service will be at 10:30, and our evening service will be this evening at 6 o'clock. And truly, we'd love to have you. I know for many, many years we've had the opportunity of putting this broadcast on the air, and from time to time we do get to meet those of you who listen, or some of those of you who listen. But we'd love to invite you to visit us here at the church so that we might be able to get to meet you personally, and particularly if you don't have another church to attend. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 that the closer we get to the return of the Lord, the more we should be gathered together with others of like precious faith to encourage each other. And so I do trust that you'll go to church today. And if we can serve you spiritually speaking, don't ever hesitate to contact us. We would love to minister to you. You can write to us at the Faith Baptist Church, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. Or you may call us at 814-944-2894. That's 814-944-2894. And then you can email us as well, and that email address is fbc@fbcaltoona.org. That's fbc@fbcaltoona.org. I would encourage you also to visit our website from time to time, which is simply fbcaltoona.org, to learn more about our ministry, because we have a very active ministry here at the church. Not only do we have services on Sunday, but even on Wednesday night, we have ministry for the young people and the children at 6:30, and then as adults, we meet together at 7 o'clock for prayer meeting and Bible study and various other things throughout the course of the normal week. I would say that this time of the year is somewhat a slow year. January and February are normally quite slow around the church ministry, but our church is very active, and I'm certain that there would be an opportunity for you to get involved and for you to also be a part of our activities. And that's one of the things that we ought to do more and more. And certainly, the more we are involved with each other, the more that we can encourage each other in the day and age in which we live. But I know I mention this every Sunday morning, and I really plan on mentioning it because it's something that I believe God would have us to share. And that is the fact that it's important that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? Have you asked Him to save you? Can you say today that had you died last night, you would be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven right now? If not, why don't you call upon the name of the Lord? I got saved on July the 17th, 1964. What was your date of salvation? Now, maybe you can't remember the date, but you ought to be able to know that you've done it. You might not be able to give a date, but you ought to be able to say, yes, I can remember when such and such happened, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, if you can't remember that time, would you do right now what the Bible says and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? Remember this, the Bible says we've all sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, which means to be delivered from sin, its power, its penalty, and its presence through faith in Jesus Christ alone. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, please do so now. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I trust you to save me. And if those words are the expressions of your heart, then truly the Lord Jesus will save you. And if you make that decision for the Lord, contact us here at the church, and we will send you a little booklet that will help you to get started right in your Christian life. Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day that you've given us. This is the Lord's Day, your day. It's the day in which Christians gather together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice right now who are able to do so will go to a good, solid, Bible-believing church. I also pray that everyone under the sound of my voice has that personal relationship with you through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And if they have not yet been saved, Father, it's my prayer that today will be the day of salvation for them. Take this program and continue to use it for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here's a nice, easy listening song to consider this morning, and it should be the prayer of each and every one of us, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. From the spiritual bread box of the Word of God, we go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, and I would like to read with you verses 3 through 5, where the Word of God says, Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's from the spiritual bread box of the Word of God, Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And now before I deliver a message from Acts chapter 9 entitled A Very Serious Question, let's listen to another old hymn of the faith, In the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day. and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed.
And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Beautiful shore in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
What a tremendous thing it is that as Christians we can look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face in heaven, but also meeting others who've gone on before us. Hallelujah! What a future we have as Christians. Today, if you have a copy of God's Word, please turn with me to Acts chapter 9, and I would like to read with you verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, where we have the record of the conversion of Saul, who eventually became the Apostle Paul. There the Word of God says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That's Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And as I said, this is a tremendous passage of Scripture because it speaks concerning how Saul came to Christ. Saul, keep in mind, thought that this new movement called Christianity was heresy. He was a Jew of the Jews, as it were. He was a Pharisee. He was a defender of the Jewish faith. And he thought that this idea of Christianity through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, was something that was false, was not true, and he was doing everything that he could to stand against it. And that's why he was persecuting the Christians. But on his way to Damascus, as it were, so that he might be able to persecute even other people who were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that he knew who this encounter with Christ was. I mean, I think he knew who Christ was. Because you'll note that it says that when the Lord Jesus appeared to him, he basically said to him, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He recognized who Jesus was. And that's a very interesting fact in this whole scenario of his salvation. But that question that Saul asked is a very, very significant question. It's a very serious question. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Let me ask you this morning, have you ever asked God that question on a personal basis? Have you? Have you ever said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Or in your prayers, do you go to the Lord and say, "God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other thing"? Well, we should be asking the Lord what he wants us to do, not telling him what we want to do. Well, there are several points that I want to share with you regarding this particular question. First of all, it is a direct question. Saul directed the question to the Lord. He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And that's significant simply because of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of all things. And certainly in everything that you and I do, particularly as Christians, should be submitted to the will of the Lord. Every day when we get up, we should offer this direct question to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" I was talking to an individual just yesterday, and in that conversation, he said, "I just don't know what to do for the Lord anymore." And I called him by name and I said, "Well, if you say every morning when you wake up, 'Lord, what would you have me to do?' God will show you the way and you'll be able to please him." That is a very direct question that each and every one of us should have. Secondly, this was a personal question because Saul said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" He didn't say, "Lord, what would you have Joe to do?" or "What would you have Sally to do?" No, this was a personal question because he truly wanted to do what God wanted him to do. I believe that that's why he was really persecuting the Christians. He thought he was doing the will of God in persecuting the Christians. But when he came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole attitude changed. His whole purpose in life began to change. He wanted to please the Lord. And so he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Again, have you asked that question? Or do you go about every day of your life doing what you want, planning what you want? You know, over in the book of James, we are told that we shouldn't even say, "Lord, today we're going to do this or we're going to do that." But we should say, "Lord, according to your will, we will do this or do that." It's so important that we ask this question to the Lord and that we make it a personal question. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" That should be something that we should ask God every day. First of all, we should ask him what he would have us to do with our entire life. He might want us in ministry. He might want us to do something very special for him as a missionary or whatever the case may be. But then day by day, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" is a very important question to ask. Thirdly, it is a serious question because, you see, it's to be asked by those who want to obey the Lord and do the will of God. You see, when we ask the Lord what he would have us to do, basically what we are doing is surrendering ourselves to him. And you know, beloved, that's what true discipleship is. True discipleship is following the Lord Jesus wherever he leads us and doing whatever he leads us to do. And so when we come to the Lord and say, as did Saul on this great day of his conversion on the Damascus Road, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The end result of that, or I should say the basic desire of that particular question, is that once God shows us what he wants us to do, that we will be willing and ready to do it. Yes, it's a direct question. It is a personal question. It is a serious question. But then thirdly, it is a prospective question. "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" When we ask the Lord that question, let us expect an answer. And that answer may come right away. It may be delayed, but it will come. Right here in the occasion with Saul, right away the answer came, because again in verse 6 of Acts chapter 9, after Saul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So right away the Lord began to answer the question that Saul raised, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" What a very, very important question that is for each and every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ should ask. My basic question, though, to you right now is, do you know the Lord? Have you ever called upon the Lord? Have you ever said, "Lord Jesus, I trust you to save me"? If you haven't, why don't you do so today? But then, as a Christian, would you say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do"? I've heard some people say that they're afraid to say that for fear the Lord will ask them to do something they don't want to do. Well, listen, if the Lord asks you to do anything, he will give you the strength and the provision and the power to do it. He really will. And then when you do it, he will bring blessing to you. Oh, yes, there may be trials. Saul went through trials. He, of course, became the Apostle Paul and was actually martyred for his faith. But the fact of the matter is, he obeyed God and was blessed. Today, I want to encourage you to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And then when he shows you that direction, follow it. Well, thank you so very much for joining me on the program today. I do trust that you'll go to a good, solid, Bible-believing church today. And until I greet you once again by way of radio next week, I'm Pastor Gary Dahl saying, keep looking up, for Jesus could come again today. And that's why we say, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Truly, the best is yet to come. God bless you.
Hey, let me take just an extra moment or so to remind all of you that should you want to get in touch with the Faith Baptist Church, or should you need to get in touch with us, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Here's our website, www.fbcaltuna.org. That's www.fbcaltuna.org. Give us a call, 814-944-2894, or better yet, come visit us this morning. We'll have Sunday school at 9:30, morning worship at 10:30, and tonight's service at 6, with a full slate of services Wednesday, 6:30 for the youngsters, 7 o'clock for the youth and adults. Faith Baptist Church here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, is located at 315 40th Street in the Highland Park section of the city, right down from Mansion Park. Till we greet you today in church, 9:30, 10:30, and 6 tonight, or next week by way of radio on this, your favorite station, or on the internet, I'm Brother Hap, and on behalf of Dr. Gary G. Dahl and the family of faith, we encourage you to keep looking up, and thanks for listening to the Voice of Faith.